You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 22nd of October, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
All right. So long as there's no follow-up questions, a few days ago, I met one of the stars from the TV show Tiger King. So, yeah, I'm doing okay.
I have never heard of the TV show Tiger King. Do tell us more, Matt, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably won't be aware of what this is either.
Well, I wasn't aware of it either. You know, we have the exact same hairstyle, so automatically we bonded. And Tiger King is it's a half documentary, half reality show. It went for 7 episodes in the middle of this pandemic nonsense. And apparently, everyone but me was talking about it.
Because so you look like
I just
someone.
Met him. He just got out of jail for something, briefly. And so, but to answer your question, I'm doing fine.
Well, that's great, and I do apologize because I did come out with some follow up questions there. But that's great if you're meeting celebrity types, being almost a celebrity yourself, I guess, a philosophical celebrity at least on the internet and in nationalist circles. And we've got a news story today that I must admit I was completely unaware of until I saw your notes today. This is the first that I've heard of it, but of course it is pretty predictable, really, that something like this would happen. I think it concerns Iran and the American election and allegations that Iran is meddling in the US election. Tehran has denied that it is trying to interfere in the US presidential contest, arguing that unlike Washington, it doesn't involve itself in foreign elections. Curiously, the US says Iran is both trying to damage and help Donald Trump. Iran summoned the Swiss ambassador in Tehran, who serves as a diplomatic go-between for the two rivals, to file a formal complaint against Washington's baseless claim that the Islamic Republic has been meddling in the upcoming election. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe announced on Wednesday that Iran and Russia have allegedly obtained US voter data as part of a purported plot to communicate false information to registered voters in the hopes of causing confusion ahead of an American electoral contest. He went on to claim that Iran was behind a series of threatening emails that were sent to Democratic voters, apparently in an attempt to intimidate voters, incite social unrest, and damage President Trump. I'll just stop there. Matt, how can they be trying to intimidate Democratic voters and damage President Trump in this way? I imagine that Iran would be totally against President Trump because he is so much against Iran. I mean, what is going on here? This is just so confusing to me.
Well, that's how you know this is a made-up story. I first heard of it last night. It had just been released. And I heard them say voter information, which sounded to me like they've got their hands on an American phone book. They give no details. They give no explanation. They don't know. They don't say what voter information means. They don't say what they're attempting to do. There are specific reasons for this claim, nor is there any possible reason to believe that Joe Biden would be any less difficult for Iran than Trump is. In fact, it was Hillary Clinton who said, 2012, I believe it was, that she was going to invade Iran if she ever became president. These days, it seems that the Democrats are far more expansionist than Republicans are, despite the neocon minority. So the very fact that they don't give any details or information by itself prove that this is a false claim.
Well, it does seem as if somebody has published all the details of all the people that were donating to Donald Trump's campaign, calling them racists and implying that these people should be attacked. And that was a left-wing journalist. I think that was exposed yesterday. So I wonder if they're not trying to pin that on Iran. And in actual fact, it was this left-wing journalist that did that. Well, a spokesman for Iran's mission to the United Nations dismissed the allegations as completely unfounded and quipped that Tehran would never mirror Washington's own tactics. Unlike the US, Iran does not interfere in other countries' elections. The world has been witnessing the United States' own desperate public attempts to question the outcome of its own elections at the highest level, Alireza Mirousefi said. He described the claims as absurd and said Tehran has no interest in trying to influence the outcome of the contest between President Donald Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden. The US must end its malign and dangerous accusations against Iran, the spokesman added. The 2020 election has been fraught with allegations of foreign meddling following debunked claims of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign in 2016. US intelligence agencies have accused Tehran, Moscow, and Beijing of trying to tip the scales for their purportedly preferred candidates. Ratcliffe said on Wednesday that Russia has not taken any concrete actions to interfere in the election, but instead has only secured access to some voter information, just as they had in 2016. Washington has been slow to produce concrete evidence of such meddling claims, however, and has struggled to keep its story straight. For example, while Ratcliffe's claims that Tehran was trying to damage Trump's chances in November, the Democrat-controlled House Homeland Security Committee tweeted that the Islamic Republic was interfering in the election in an attempt to help the Republican president, a bold allegation considering the open hostility between Trump and Iran. I think what's going on here is you've got sabotage probably coming from both sides, from the Republicans and from the Democrats. And then what they're doing is they're blaming whichever country they prefer to blame for it. Blame Iran for it, blame Russia for it, blame China for it. They're all countries that are on the end of sanctions or a trade war. They're not on good terms with America. And I think that's what's going on here. But what are your thoughts on this, Matt?
Well, I remember the press release that came out of the DNI's office in August. I sent that to you. And they accuse three states, typical, you know, the enemies of the US. And none of them, again, all very vague information. And what it boils down to is that because China criticized the Americans' COVID response or the TikTok thing or the Hong Kong issue, that has some influence over the public's perception over the election. And therefore, that and that alone counts as meddling in the election. In other words, if a foreign power through its diplomatic office or media has any comment about an American issue under any circumstances, because that may indirectly affect some person maybe voting one way or the other, therefore, it's identical as if they were to break into the mainframe and change vote tallies. That's what this thing. That's what the National Security Office did in 2016. None of these actually had to do with manipulating, you know, electronics. It was simply because people like me were making comments from either a Russian point of view, an Iranian point of view, whatever it is, and therefore that's disrupting the election process. The point is that their monopoly in information has been destroyed for a long time. And this is how they're doing damage control. It's no more than this. And although there's a few even crazier accusations coming up here, but as far as the serious ones, that's as far as it goes.
So it's just critical comments. And of course, other countries are going to be critical of America's foreign policy. And that now equates to meddling in the election if they don't all go along with it. I did see a very interesting tweet yesterday sent from someone in the Chinese government pointing out that America was committing a genocide against its own people by replacing so many white Americans, and saying, how dare America accuse China of genociding the Uyghurs when the Uyghur population is increasing, whereas the white American population is decreasing. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful to see. But getting back here, we have an allegation about Iran actually being the Proud Boys in disguise. US Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe and FBI Director Chris Wray accused Iran of threatening voters in several US states by sending emails that claimed to have originated from the group Proud Boys. Tehran was behind the spoof emails designed to intimidate voters, incite social unrest, and damage President Trump, Ratcliffe alleged during a special press conference on Wednesday evening. Some registered Democrats in Alaska and Florida reported receiving threatening emails telling them the Proud Boys were in possession of all your information and ordering them to vote for US President Donald Trump, or we will come after you. Ratcliffe said that Iran seems to have obtained voter information and used it to send the emails, calling it desperate attempts of desperate adversaries. Though Ratcliffe mentioned Russia alongside Iran, he said US intelligence has not seen any actions, only access to some voter information, just as they had in 2016. Wray urged Americans to get their voting information from trusted sources, such as state election officials, and said the FBI was coordinating with the private sector, both technology and social media companies, to ensure their platforms aren't used by foreign actors to spread disinformation and propaganda. And I'll just stop there. It seems to me that they're just trying to use this word that is in the public narrative so much at the moment, Proud Boys. So that if we can link the Proud Boys with Iran, again, that's negative for Iran. And the platforms themselves, they're falling over themselves not to allow foreign actors to spread disinformation. But what about the platforms themselves that are disallowing information on Joe Biden and his crime family and censoring Donald Trump's tweets? There's more meddling going on from these tech companies than any meddling that is coming from outside of America, I think. Matt, what are your comments on this?
Yeah, it's hard to deny that when Twitter and Facebook are actively censoring posts from the Republican nominee for president, which, by the way, is not a legal action. Antifa shut down rallies in 2016. They tried to do it using the COVID excuse. I mean, that, so this at a minimum is I guess getting, you know, the public attention off of that fact. I don't think these guys realize that voting information is public. And certainly if you give money, that you just go to the FEC website and it's all on there. And ordering to vote for President Donald Trump, I mean, this is like a children's cartoon. A congressman's information, or any, you know, registered Democrats in Alaska and Florida, you know, this is all public information. Or especially if they're elected officials. But even more than that, you have the FBI fully admitting that it's working with Facebook and Twitter to destroy pro-Trump ideas anywhere. And of course, they could use this as an excuse. So this both has domestic and foreign origins.
Well, Ratcliffe and Wray left without taking questions from the press. Shortly before their appearance, the Washington Post reported about the alleged Iranian campaign, citing Homeland Security officials who spoke to reporters on background without names. The metadata from the emails pointed to servers in Saudi Arabia, Estonia, Singapore, and the United Arab Emirates, according to analysts cited by the Post. Trump's critics, such as the former Republican consultants, now backing Democratic candidate Joe Biden, had seized on the emails as proof the president was trying to engage in voter intimidation ahead of the November the 3rd election. The alleged fake email campaign is not the first time US intelligence has asserted Iranian election meddling efforts. In a statement issued in August, National Counterintelligence and Security Center head William Aviana warned that Tehran seeks to undermine US democratic institutions using online influence and disinformation on social media. No evidence was given for the claims. The same August statement also rehashed long-running allegations about Russian interference, accusing Moscow of working to denigrate former Vice President Biden ahead of the November election. But despite near-endless proclamations of Russian meddling from American politicians and the corporate press since Trump took office nearly 4 years ago, no clear evidence has ever been adduced to support the charge, which Moscow has denied repeatedly. A 2-year special counsel probe failed to uncover a conspiracy between the Kremlin and the Trump campaign during the 2016 race. While claims of a Russian hacking and social media operation have largely fallen apart, supported by only the claims of US intelligence agencies. mean, this it really surprises me. They can get away with this, saying that this is Iran, when the metadata from the emails points to servers in Saudi Arabia, Estonia, Singapore, and United Arab Emirates. And I would have thought that it would be far more likely that it would be the Democratic Party that were actually doing this and pretending to be the Proud Boys, rather than blaming Iran. It surprises me that they have actually blamed Iran for this. I mean, why didn't they blame the Democrats? Surely they could have been using virtual proxy networks to make it seem as if they were coming from these other countries. I think it's bizarre that they're blaming Iran for this. What are your thoughts on this section, Matt?
Well, let me give a few reasons why this might be happening here in this respect. A lot has gone on in the last few weeks. For one thing, the arms embargo ended on the 18th. Iran is shipping more oil to China and elsewhere than ever before. The pipeline to the Sea of Oman that Iran is sponsoring is just a couple of months from completion. The Iranian economy, relatively speaking, is doing better. And most importantly, the energy network, the electricity network that Iran is building to unite even the Gulf states like Saudi Arabia and the UAE is in the process of completion. Iran can do this much cheaper than the U.S. can. And you imagine if the Saudis or the Emirates or anything else were to start looking to Iran for their grid, because the Iranians are far and away more technologically competent than any of these other people. They have one of the strongest scientific establishments in the world. So that's just a few things that are going on that may be driving this, because when you have these accusations, which are based on nothing, which are vague, which give no details whatsoever, and give no reason as to why they would support one candidate or another, given that all of them hate these countries and all of them and their parties have declared war on them. And the Russia thing, as I've been saying from the beginning, always made me laugh, because it goes precisely opposite to what he was impeached for. He was impeached for military aid one way or another to Ukraine. And the civil war, of course, continues to go on in the East. So nothing makes sense, and everything is based on public ignorance. Although these days, I just wonder how many people – I mean, I could picture the people, you know, the Karens who believe this stuff. But other than that, other than university professors, I can't imagine how many people are going to buy this.
I just find it so bizarre that we suddenly have this fashion for accusing other countries of meddling in elections. It's like no other country had a different foreign policy to the United States up until Donald Trump was elected. Surely these other countries critiqued American foreign policy before then and suggested what candidate that they would prefer in office. And it's just over the last few years that this has happened. Ever since Donald Trump was elected, we get all these accusations of foreign meddling. There's nothing to it. We also have cyber attacks. Two Iranian government institutions became the targets of massive cyber attacks earlier this week, but the relevant Iranian agencies reacted quickly and repelled them, an official in Tehran has disclosed. The attempts to hack the unspecified government bodies were made on Monday and Tuesday. Abulghassam Sadeghi, the deputy head of security of Iran's IT organization, MIA, said. The attacks were important and on a large scale, but they failed to inflict any significant damage due to being swiftly identified and eliminated, he claimed. However, Sadeghi stopped short of naming the party that Tehran considered responsible for the attacks. Iran had earlier blamed the US, Israel, and some other countries of trying to break into its networks, saying that the country's agencies had been placed on high alert for hacking attempts. And of course, America and Israel do have form on this, don't they, with the Stuxnet virus that they let off over there, which then managed to break out and infect other computers around the world. I think it's pretty irresponsible doing things like this, and Iran seems to be more responsible than the West here, because they're not actually identifying which country it is that did this, because you've got virtual proxy networks, and we know that the CIA had this software that managed to mask wherever the hacking was actually being done from. It's impossible to say exactly who is behind this, and Iran are not actually identifying anyone. But of course, America will identify people, and you just think, well, how can you when you yourselves have admitted that you've got the technology to mask wherever these hacking attacks come from. Matt, what are your thoughts on these massive cyber attacks that happened earlier this week?
Well, it's part of the reason why the U.S. has to, project its own vices onto the world. it was WikiLeaks that first broke the story that the CIA could mimic any agency's metadata and footprint, which, of course, I didn't need WikiLeaks to tell me that. I think we pretty much all knew that. So it is extremely difficult to tell where anything comes from, almost impossible. But worse than that, the only thing that really – well, I mean, the only way you can approach this is who has an interest. The U.S. certainly has an interest in destabilizing Iranian institutions. But Iran has no interest in choosing a candidate, both of whom have declared war in the country, and both parties have. So that doesn't make any sense. So if there's any, if one of these stories is true, it's probably this one.
Well, we also have allegations of hacking going on from Iran to America. A hacking group allegedly linked to Tehran targeted U.S. President Donald Trump's re-election campaign, but was unsuccessful, claims a Reuters report citing sources. It follows a similar Microsoft statement not naming the targets. The threat group, dubbed Phosphorus, attempted to hack into accounts associated with Trump's re-election campaign, sources familiar with the matter said on Friday. Earlier, Microsoft issued a press release describing the alleged Iran-linked attacks. While unsophisticated, the hackers had apparently spent considerable time researching their 241 targets, which also included political journalists and Iranian expats. Just last month, Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif warned the US that it had bitten off more than it could chew when it started a cyber war by unleashing the Stuxnet virus on Iran's nuclear centrifuges in 2010. But any war that the United States starts, it won't be able to finish, he said. The Trump campaign has denied it was targeted by hackers. We have no indication that any of our campaign infrastructure was targeted, Director of Communications Tim Murtaugh told Reuters. Despite Microsoft describing the hackers as Iranian, no evidence has yet been provided of the operation really coming from Iran. In the wake of the Russiagate affair, cybersecurity professionals have advised against attributing cyber attacks to state actors, warning that both the origin and the telltale signs of the nationals involved could be masked or even planted to fool the target. This has not stopped companies like CrowdStrike, who have made their reputation on such attributions. I wouldn't putting it past individuals doing these sort of things as well, just to make a name for themselves, just to say that they managed to hack into some government department and cause mayhem. I mean, there's no way that they can prove that it's state actors that are actually responsible for this. It's interesting that the Trump campaign are denying this, whilst Microsoft are saying that this went on and it was an Iran-linked attack. What do you make of that, Matt, that Trump is denying this and not using it as a chance to get one over on Iran?
Well, the fact that Microsoft is making this accusation rather than the FBI doesn't mean anything, because we just read that the FBI is admitting that they're working with these companies, and they have been for a long time. So when you get stuff censored online, and we all have, you know, there's both government agencies and private agencies working behind this. The very fact that this is crude, they say it's unsophisticated, by itself shows that it's not from a state actor. CrowdStrike has lost all – we talked about that on this show before – has lost all legitimacy. Their whole thing is based on being able to claim this, and they know they can't. New major programmers have come out saying that that's impossible. The guy who owns the antivirus software, whose name I can't think of off the top of my head, said it's absolutely impossible. He was talking about 2016. But that's not the point. You know, they can't get their story straight. Either they're pro-Trump, they're anti-Trump. Chaos seems to be the ultimate thing. And Phosphorus, of course, has a negative connotation. So it's a perfect Hollywood bad guy name, like ISIS or something like that. No names are ever given. No details are ever given. Everything is vague. There doesn't seem to be any purpose. Even that's when they mention it is extremely vague. And it all comes down to one thing, and this has been going on now since 2016, is that they are breaking the American journalistic establishment's control over information. That's the only thing that this is about.
Well, the internet has broken their control, and we now have independent journalists reporting on this sort of stuff and making our own commentary. Is that what you're referring to there, Matt?
Yes, and you know, when the NSA came out with their Russiagate thing right after the election, it didn't mention any, you know, breaking into computers or changing vote results. It had nothing. It was solely about opinions. It was about challenging ideological dogmas. That's what the whole thing was. The very existence of RT was attacked, for example. And us, of course, indirectly, for this very same reason. It has nothing to do with election numbers or anything or opinion polls. And of course, the funniest thing of all was when AIPAC, of all people, the American-Israeli Foreign Affairs Committee comes out and says, we can't trust Iran. Our elections have to be our own. We can't have any foreign actors involved in our elections. I had to read that six times before it finally sunk in that AIPAC is actually saying this. That's the clown world. I used to make fun of that meme, but I don't make fun of it anymore. That's the only thing that makes sense out of it.
It is quite audaciously bold, aren't they, in the sort of things they talk about, the control that they have over the United States and particularly over Donald Trump, Israel's favorite president. Well, even before specific information came out about whose attacks had been targeted, Twitter's blue check marks were already blaming President Donald Trump. Trump's open invitation to foreign government intelligence services that they should interfere in our elections has been received loud and clear, smirked one user. Interference in our elections is okay only when President Trump personally invites it. At least that's the message we'll soon be hearing, sneered another. The Democratic National Committee circulated an alert warning that phosphorus may create believable spear phishing emails and fake LinkedIn profiles as primary tactics and warned officials to beef up their security. The US has targeted Iran with cyber attacks of its own for nearly a decade, starting with the Stuxnet virus developed in conjunction with Israeli intelligence that was used to knock out Iranian nuclear centrifuges in 2010, and allegedly including attacks on rocket launch pads and other infrastructure. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif warned Washington last month that while the US may have started the cyber war, it won't be able to finish it. Interesting here, they're falling over themselves to blame other people for this. They're trying to blame Donald Trump for the fact that there was this hacking attempt, and then Donald Trump is blaming Iran. It's all just distraction, isn't it, from what's really going on, I think. Matt, what are your final thoughts on this piece here?
Do you remember when the Iranian government was blamed for shooting down that passenger airliner? I think that was this year. Well, if this is even half true, this virus apparently was directed at rocket launch pads and all kinds of military infrastructure. It's because the Iranian government had no idea what was going on. It certainly wasn't in their interest. It was mostly Iranian citizens on that plane. For the U.S. to claim that simply the existence of opinions is election interference when these guys were invading nuclear power stations. Computer systems, which God knows where that could possibly lead with this virus that the U.S. and the Israelis worked on together. This is nothing other than it has to be distraction. And how easy, I forgot all about this from 2010 and the danger, how dangerous this could have been if something went wrong. Now, it may well be cleared out by now, but I have the feeling it cost them a fortune to do it. So this is simply a neurotic government, no longer with superpower status, lashing out as its economy tanks.
Well, they might have let slip a little bit of a secret there, Matt, as you pointed out there. If they're admitting that they hacked into the rocket launch pads, and as you pointed out, we saw an Iranian passenger liner that was hit by a rocket from one of these launch pads, I am surprised Iran hasn't made this accusation that in actual fact, one of Iran's enemies could have been responsible for that. Well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.